And finally, we have worked out all of our knots and tangles, and we're back on and running on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. Welcome, everybody. We've got a jam-packed show for us today. I know that everybody is sitting out there wanting to know about the biggest event of the week, and that is, of course, Sherry Jackson's trial in Atlanta, Georgia, which unfortunately did not enjoy a happy ending. But everything is an opportunity to learn. Everything is an opportunity to do better. And they're constantly coming up with new approaches, and we are, staying at it. So whenever you've got a lot going on and a lot at risk, and these people were really wanting her head really bad, anything can happen with a jury, and it often does. So today we're going to have a special guest, somebody who was there. We've got Gary Thomason, president of Truth Attack, who's going to be on the show today. We also are expecting to hear in a little bit later from Larry Beecraft, who I gave a little trouble to on his show this morning, picking on him about the Tigers coming to chew up his poor little Bama boys. And we'll get right in on all of this and more when we get back here in just a few minutes.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back to the My Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're here today to talk about taxes like we are every Saturday afternoon.
and about the problem of how to get the government to follow the law. How are we going to get them to obey the law? Who keeps up with those? We are the government police. We are responsible for managing our own government. And if we don't do it, we can't complain that they're not running themselves properly. They're our dog. It's time we yanked the leash a time or two, brought him at the heel. Now, we've got a guest today. Like I said, we've got Gary Thomason, president of the Truth Attack. He was present throughout the Sherry Jackson trial. And I want to bring him right on. Gary, how are you doing today? Have we lost Gary?
They don't have me on.
Well, go ahead, Gary. Come on. I hear you.
They don't have me on, so I was... can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure. I've got you. We thought we were mistaken, but we were wrong. Or we thought we were wrong, but we were mistaken. One of the two. How are you doing?
Tom, how's it going?
It's going great. You know, we stumbled right at the top of the hour coming in with the Skype not working right, and then we stumbled now. So we've got those out of the way. We ought to have a picture-perfect program the rest of the day.
There you go.
All right. You just got back from Atlanta.
I did.
Right?
That's right.
And you were there for the whole trial, and I know everybody's wanting to know what happened. Have I just given us a little bit of a picture of how it looked when it was going into the trial on Monday morning? What was basically the picture that you had at that particular point overall?
Okay. Well, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was spent mainly getting with Sherry and Larry and Jeff Dickstein. And the talk was the trial was more than likely going to last Wednesday, Thursday, possibly even as late as Friday, because the government had planned on trotting 17 witnesses up and down for its opening volley. And Monday morning we walk into the courtroom for jury selection. They had approximately 30 potential jurors they were sitting, and they went through them fairly quickly. The judge asked some questions, and of course both counsel, they were able to get some questions asked, and then, of course, the judge finished up with some general questions about the background and whatnot. And it was around 10:30. We took a 15-minute break, came back. They set aside 19 jurors for the jury pool, with each side getting three strikes. It didn't take too long. They had the jury impaneled, and then they had one alternate picked out of. They had one strike each. They had three people. The government did a strike, and Larry did a strike, and that alternate juror was seated. And then they started right into trial. Opening arguments took place, and then the government put on its case, and we took a short break, and Larry Larry Becraft was making a comment about just how amazing it was that the government collapsed its case right at the opening of the day's proceeding. And we're only going to put three witnesses on the stand for its entire case.
It's typical for the government to try to save a little surprise for the last morning. You remember in my trial, their big surprise was that they decided they weren't going to take on an attempt to prove an evasion charge,
exactly.
And they backed off.
Yeah, but on that point, I thought it was just it brought a smile to my face when you and Larry objected to them dropping the charge.
Well, you see, they didn't know the reason for that. Was a little hyper technical, but that was based upon the strategy of their inability to produce even a scintilla of evidence as to the act of evasion that was required. And so the plan was to move for a judgment of acquittal at the close of the government's case, and the court would almost be forced to grant it because it can't back off to a lesser charge. The jury can, but the court can't. And it would have had to have granted a judgment of acquittal, and that would have... that would have been rough for the government. I think the government was smart to do that. I think it was a smart move. I think it was also a smart move what they did in Sherry's case in pretending, giving some misinformation, pretending to plan on taking 3 days and then, pulling the fast track out.
Yeah, they sure did, and they wrapped their case up by 3:30, and by 3:45, Sherry was on the stand.
Tell me about the courtroom itself. What how many people showed up for this trial? Who was there?
Well, of course, for the government, there were very few people there, but there were patriots and truth troopers, as you and I have, like to say. There were approximately 25 people in the morning session. By Monday afternoon, there was somewhere between 25 and 30. And the courtroom wasn't overflowing, but it certainly was full, and everybody was respectful. Everybody was courteous of the system. Everybody respected the system as it's supposed to be applied. And, it was a great sign of support for Sherry, that's for sure.
Well, and that's important, too, because part of the problem that we have had is that the court and the system itself has this notion that people who are tax honesty advocates are wild-eyed, crazy radicals, and the group that you just described doesn't meet that definition, does it?
Absolutely not. In fact, the only time during the entire proceeding that the gallery spectators, the patriots, and observing the trial, the only time that there was ever a sound uttered was during, during direct examination. Larry handed a number of United States Supreme Court cases to Sherry to admit into evidence. And as he approached Sherry, the prosecutor objected and said, "Your Honor, we don't need to dust off these old meaningless Supreme Court cases," and something to that effect. I mean, I can't say that was a direct quote, but that was certainly the effect of what he was saying. And just spontaneously, everybody in the gallery started laughing. And I immediately focused my attention on the judge because, here the gallery is making their voice heard in the courtroom. And she started laughing.
Well, it wasn't. There were no boos or nobody spit on anybody, as I understand it.
It was just a spontaneous reaction. Somebody, referring to the Supreme Court as a meaningless entity in the United States of America, and then of course the gallery just immediately the spontaneous laughing at this guy, and of course the judge, she had a smile come to her face and she chuckled. So.
That was my next question, was how did she react to that? Well, what happened then on the admission?
They didn't necessarily, it's kind of confusing because the judge would not let her quote from her recollection, which formed the basis of her belief, and Larry objected. And went on to summarize the cases, have Sherry go on to summarize the cases based upon her knowledge, because the prosecutor again objected and says, she's reading from these and these things are dated. The material is of no consequence. The worst that's going to happen is she's going to waste the court's time. The best thing that's going to happen is basically you're going to confuse the jury. And the judge would not let her talk about the Supreme Court cases. Of course, again, Larry objected. And she went on, and the prosecutor says, she wouldn't know any of these cases if without them being in front of her to read from. And then Larry asked her, Ms. Jackson, could you tell me the names of these cases? And, she rattled off the cases. which indicated that she was prepared to testify sufficiently to the degree of admitting that this is the basis of her belief, which would go to the heart of the case of the defense. That was okay. That was locked out.
Well, back up a little bit and go back to the front of the trial. But incidentally, folks, I know you're going to have some questions beyond these basic, obvious questions that I'm asking. But if you want to get on the program here, you got a question about the Sherry Jackson trial. This is the guy that was there. The number is 1-800-313-9443 to get on the program. 1-800-313-9443. And I understand we've got a caller on. I'm hesitant to bring him on because there is some payback that's due. Do I? Well, there are no callers. Well, I had Bubba from Alabama has a question here, and I knew that Bubba was going to be calling here to get him with me for rioting him this morning on his program. When he does call, Manny, just give me a heads up because we want to bring him right on in. But if you've got a question for Gary or for me or a comment about the trial, give us a call, 800-313-9443.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
And welcome back, here to the Live Free Zone. We've got Gary Thomason from Truth Attack on with us today, and we're going to have you on here shortly. You want to join us on the program? The number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. For those who may not have been listening in on Larry Becraft's program this morning, I mentioned that I gave him a little grief this morning, and so I'm kind of flinching at every time something moves because I'm expecting the payback any minute. And so when he does get on here and he starts to give me a little hard time, you'll know that he's probably somewhat warranted. I gave him a little bit of grief, and but not nearly as much grief as this evening's game is going to give him. So that'll make me look a little bit better because the LSU Tigers are going to treat him very, very badly. Gary, you got us up through the day on the first day. And at that time, you gave us a report, and I forwarded that out to everybody, on the progress of the trial, and it was looking very, very good at that time, was it not?
It sure was, Tom. The the first day, the government put on its case, and, you know, it's basically showing paperwork claiming what they determined to be income, which the law suggests is gross receipts. And then the defense was supposedly going to be caught off guard. Little did they know, Sherry was prepared to testify. She got right on the stand. She gave a brief history of her life, what brought her to Atlanta, graduating from high school, graduating from college, taking several career path changes to ultimately get her CPA, as well as going to work for the Internal Revenue Service as a revenue agent. She worked, she went over that testimony, and then they started introducing, offering evidence for admission, and they got the first piece of evidence in, and the judge called it a day. Larry was framing up, presentation of the evidence for two other pieces that he was offering for admission. But
framing up, lawyers call laying a foundation.
Yeah,
he was setting up where these things came from, how they came into the case, why they're material.
Exactly, he was establishing the foundation, and then. I think he got the one of the other ones admitted, but they basically called it a day Monday, and Tuesday morning, bright and early, was the second day start.
All right. Now, when Sherry got back on the stand Tuesday morning, she had to complete her direct testimony, which is where she's being examined by Larry. How did that go?
It went very well. She was explaining her journey to finding the truth, and it was very cogent, very much organized. You know, she laid everybody at the she actually almost took them by the hand and walked them down her path to finding out, was she really liable for the federal income tax? You know, she testified about being challenged. She showed an advertisement that was actually the first piece of evidence that was offered and admitted. It was an ad from We the People Foundation, the full-page ad in the USA Today that ran July 7th of 2001. She took that ad. Actually, a friend of hers saw that, brought it to her, suggested that she do some more research into it. And by this time, Sherry had left the Internal Revenue Service and was in private CPA practice, but nonetheless was trying to answer questions from people from her church and other social settings who had come to her and said, hey, you used to work for the IRS. tell us if this is true. Is there really a law that makes us liable for the federal income tax? And she goes, you know, gee, I really don't know. Nobody at the IRS really ever teaches us that. And then she explained the phases of training, what the IRS goes through, basically, when a new hire is brought on board. And they're basically laid in front of them a 1040 form. And so this is a 1040 form. Everybody's got to fill one of these out. Everybody's got to pay taxes. Everybody has to do this. They don't really go into the law itself.
The when she finished up her direct testimony, what was, you know, how did you feel about where we were at that point?
Well, you know, as I was saying, her testimony appeared to be fairly well establishing her belief. People could argue as to whether or not it was as complete as maybe as it should have been. You can second guess and speculate all day long, but the foundation was laid that she formed these beliefs genuinely, and she truly believed them. I don't think anybody in that courtroom could, at that point, make any kind of accusation that Sherry did not believe what she actually was saying. So as she wrapped up, I felt fairly comfortable with her, her beliefs.
We're going into a break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes and carry on this account of the trial and start taking some calls and getting your questions.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill.
I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
back to the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're talking to Gary Thomason of Truth Attack, who was at the entire Sherry Jackson trial, as well as having been there a day or two or three ahead of trial to see and hear some of the preparations that went into it. Where we left off, Gary, we want to take a couple of these questions because they've been hanging on for a while, but I want to finish up roughly what happened that next day real quick. If you'll just give us a sort of a thumbnail sketch of where things went south and why, what happened.
Okay, Tom, well, cross-examination, if I could set the tone of it, during the entire trial, the prosecutor, I would like to call him Spanky, but he appeared ambivalent. He appeared to be he was swinging and swaying in his chair while Larry was doing direct examination with Sherry. He was rolling his eyes up at the ceiling and looking around the courtroom as if, you know, he was very cavalier about the entire proceeding. However, when it was time for him to jump off the sidelines and onto the field, he went into a direct assault mode and was very disrespectful of Sherry. Not that he was invited to be respectful of any way, but he was attacking, trying to discredit her, challenge her credibility, challenge her character. If that doesn't set the tone, some of his questions were radically misleading. Section 1 of the Internal Revenue Code, he assaulted her on that, basically saying that the word liability was somewhere buried in Section 1. However, he never read it, and, of course, he was asking yes or no questions to Sherry, and whenever he would ask her a question about Section 1, it would be a yes or no question, and any effort she made to interject what her belief was as to why she believed she wasn't liable, he would stop her and say, you know, this is a yes or no question. And, of course, Section 1 of the Internal Revenue Code is, there is hereby imposed a tax on taxable income of married individuals and surviving spouses. He asked her if she was a married individual, and he kind of chided her for saying that individual is a defined term. You know, and he said, "Oh, so you can't tell for yourself if you're an individual." Very, you know, very combative and argumentative with her. I'm sorry.
Of course, whenever you're in that predicament, you've got your client is up there on a stand. You know, all of us have been there, and he's taking a beating, and you've got to sit back and let him fight his way back out. You can't run in there and rescue him every time he gets asked a tough question without making him look worse than he would have been to start with. So it's a tough position for both the witness and for the attorney. And but sometimes that disrespect for a witness will backfire on an attorney. You know, but it didn't in this case, apparently.
Yeah, it certainly didn't. In fact, he was reading things into the questions that simply were not true. He was stretching the truth would be a fair way to say it. He was
asking her when she. It's like asking somebody when did they stop beating their wives. You've got a question that presumes a fact not proven, and or that's what we call it anyway. And you know it's not a fair tactic. I want to interrupt our count, though, of the trial this afternoon because we've got folks who have been sitting here watching. If you've got a question, or waiting, rather, and you've got a question for Gary, comment on the trial, question for me, what have you, give us a call at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Join us on the program, and we'll kick this can around a little bit. Right now, let's go on ahead and catch Joe in Massachusetts. Joe, how are you doing today?
Hey, Larry. Sorry I didn't call you a couple weeks ago, but I haven't been feeling good. I have a lot of problems. Glad to speak with your guest. You have to get new sinuses. You have sinus problems.
Today I am terribly congested. I am.
I know. I can hear that. That's horrible.
Oh yeah. I apologize for that. We're trying to filter some of that out and manage.
Hey, listen. You could have, as an attorney, I was told that when this attorney does this, you can request. Say, Your Honor, I can't answer this. It's a loaded question. There's a way of doing it. I would like to explain it, and so forth and so on. I was told that that can be done. Anyway, what happened? Did they find her guilty or not guilty? And what is Larry and you guys going to do about it to help her?
Oh, yes, she was found guilty on all four counts. Oh, and it was following a major character assassination. And what's going to be done about it, there are a lot of options. I mean, there are motions that can be filed after a trial, and then there's always an appeal they can follow. I believe that in this case, there are several points that give quite a bit of traction for an appeal.
And under a new judge? Not under that same judge, right?
No, appeals are always to a different court.
Good.
An appeal is to, as a matter of fact, the appeal will be to an appellate court, circuit appellate court, and it will be heard by three judges.
Will they also see your case and see the other cases in Nevada that a couple people won? I think it's Nevada. There's a couple women that won. And is she in jail? Because I know the IRS gets in everything, Larry. As you know, I can't pay credit anymore. I've had to stop. I'm exempt because, as you know, I'm on Social Security. But still, I don't like doing that. You know, I mean, there was a time when I could pay it. I had excellent credit. People have retirement benefits, and you can comment on that and everything. And they can't. They get penalized if they do this. Maybe someday you'll do a show on how to save your money and what type of investments, because the IRS gets in everything. But is this girl in jail? And what's happening?
No, she is. She was not remanded to custody. She's out. You know, on bond. Continues to be out on a bond, probably a signature bond. I don't know what the particulars are on it. But she continues to be free for the time being. And now we'll go into the pre-sentencing process. There will be a pre-sentence investigation done. Backgrounds and all this other stuff will come to light. All of the factors that are taken into account in exacting a sentence on a case will be outlined and laid out. And then the case will come up for sentencing.
When will this case be sentenced, and what do you think she'll get for a sentence, and how long will these appeals? Are you starting the appeal right away?
That's like asking how long is a rope. Really don't know. There are guidelines that indicate a zone that I would not be willing to take a speculative stab at right now.
Okay.
She is looking at probably somewhere in the neighborhood. She's exposed to a maximum of four. I would imagine that a realistic exposure level would be somewhere mid-range of that.
Okay. What about the question I asked about asking a loaded question? Isn't there a way of saying, Your Honor, I can't answer that. I would like to explain it. And then the judge allows you to say yes or no and then explain your answer.
There's a way that, and every witness is told by his attorney, or virtually every witness is told by his attorney, to be prepared for that type of question, and to point out, rather than answer the question, to point out the fallacy upon which the question is based.
Is that what she did? And what happened?
That's not what she did, as I understand. Is that right, Gary?
Well, there, for example, the question as about Section 1 of the Internal Revenue Code.
The liability provisions right there is what he was telling her, right?
Yeah, and you said he said yes or no, right, Larry?
Gary.
Gary. Gary, I get you guys.
The way that he framed the question was that during her testimony, and I guess for the sake of fairness of the question you're asking, She had laid the foundation of her belief in her direct surrounded around the liability provision, 1461, Title 26. And when she got up to cross-examination, he said she had read an article in this ad from Bob Schultz's organization, from William Conklin, in a book he had written, and he also offered a $50,000 reward for the first person that can show up with a liability provision.
Okay, fine.
The prosecutor pushed off that by saying, okay, so this Mr. Conklin has written this book, and he's espoused this belief that the Internal Revenue Code contains no liability provision for the average working American. So let us turn to page 1 of the Internal Revenue Code, subtitle A, and let's read section 1.1.1 and see what it has to say. And he misread it.
Okay, they couldn't. Larry has couldn't. Beecraft, it's the objection, Your Honor. He's misreading it. Here is the title. You know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. So Larry could have stopped this.
This was a judgment call.
Yeah, he was actually.
Go ahead, Gary.
He was actually paraphrasing to the extent that. Did you write Mr. Conklin a letter and ask and send him a copy of this section 1 of the Internal Revenue Code?
Who was paraphrasing it? Larry Beecraft?
No, I'm the prosecutor.
Okay, fine.
So the way that he paraphrased it, he said, so here we are at section 1. You're telling me that that there's no liability provision and there's a $50,000 reward. Did you, and this goes back to when's the last time you beat your wife, kind of question.
Okay, fine.
So did you write to Mr. Conklin and send him a copy of this section 1 and tell him that you'll take your $50,000 in a form of a check or cash? And, you know, and it was like a yes or no question. And she said, but I'm not liable. And like Tommy said, preparation was presented and discussion of topics. So like, if you don't fully understand the question, or if you can tell that this guy is being misleading, then you simply just don't address the question in the manner that he wants you to answer it. You ask questions to push off of that.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, she said, look, I'm not liable. And you know, my first reaction was, why, she should have asked him a question, should have, could have, whatever you want to frame it. But,
couldn't
know,
Larry have interrupted and objected? Say, can we have a sidebar?
What you have there, Joe, is a particular situation. It calls for a major judgment call. When an attorney is trying a case,
yeah,
he makes thousands of decisions you never see.
Okay,
and,
fine.
One of those decisions in this particular scenario, what I would have been doing at that point is I would have been waiting to see how far over the wall the ball went. You have to give your client or the witness an opportunity.
Yeah, I see that.
To go out here. And when a guy asks a question like that, that's an extremely dangerous question to ask.
You got to be real careful.
And he got away with it this time. But had he asked the right witness, or a witness that was not maybe rattled at the time, it's a lot tougher when you're sitting up there in that hot seat. It's real easy to sit back and say, well, they should have said this, or they should have said that.
Yeah, I know.
But boy, when you're in the hot seat, thinking, a lot of people aren't geared to thinking on their feet.
Yeah, you are. How would you have answered the question? You're up there now.
Oh, I mean, if I'd answered that question, it would have been completely different. But I'm a knight. I'm a warrior. I'm used to taking
battling
shots
it
and
giving
it back three times. But basically, the opportunity that affords to a witness to make you look like an idiot was a very risky move on this prosecutor's part.
So she should have said, "I don't understand the question." Correct.
I'm not going to should on anybody. I don't like to should on people.
Okay.
But I will say that she could have said, "Well, no, it doesn't. It wouldn't be appropriate." The answer to your question is no, simply no, because.
Okay.
This section that you have doesn't make me liable, doesn't make anybody liable.
Yeah, I see. Did Larry stop and call her aside and give her a...
You know, there's no, you can't stop. You have to stay back. It's kind of like...
So this is different than court TV, because court TV, they stop and, you know, if this happens, because they just showed a case. This wasn't federal. I guess this is federal. I don't know if they're in federal. And they stopped, and he talked to the witness. They had a sidebar and everything.
Well, this was something for redirect.
You can try to rehabilitate your witness on redirect, because you get another chance to ask some questions. But by and large, You got to, and I tell my people that's going into a trial, don't look over at me when you get a tough question. Do not look over at me. Even just looking at me makes you look weak.
Really?
You look at that prosecutor dead in the eye, and you give him what the Lord loves. You tell him the truth, and you give it to him in spades.
Okay, because, Tom, I can't even see you anyway, so I don't know what you look like. I would just have to, you have to help me, grill me how to answer these kind of questions if I ever get in a situation like this and I have you as an attorney. As I said a couple weeks ago, I really like you. I think you're a good man. You're tough, and you won your case.
Well, I hope you never get in that predicament, Joe, because, I mean, I try to tell everybody, stay out of the cave.
Yeah, but we have to fight this tax if we get jobs. Everybody's afraid. People are just, I tell people about your case. They say, oh, we never heard of this. Oh, what's the website? And I go and they look at it, you know.
That's the way to do it. You're fighting. You are fighting as good as any warrior, any patriot can fight.
But if I get a job, if I get a job, they're going to want to take money out for this and that and, oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And what you do is you pay tribute that way so that you can then be there to fight tomorrow and the next day instead of them coming and carrying you away to a slaughterhouse.
What do you mean you pay tribute? Can you tell me?
That's what basically the income tax is right now, is paying tribute to their power to take it away from you.
You mean you let them do it or you don't let them do it?
I recommend you let them do it rather than get yourself eat up in a cave.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. You know, now you've got people that are geared for this fight. You have people that are equipped to fight this fight. But if you're equipped and you're geared to it, you have the financial means, you have the skill and the acumen, and you have the ability to stand up in court and fight the fight, then by all means, you know, we need acquittals.
But you mean the average person don't do it?
We don't need any more martyrs. We don't need any more martyrs. We've got plenty of martyrs.
Then you guys better close the IRS so that people won't take out money anymore, because Hillary was talking about it. You know, I don't want to get into that. But I enjoy you as always, and I'll try and call you sometime next week.
All right. Great call.
Good luck, and try and help. I hope we help this girl out. I really do.
Well, I hope that she, you know, it's not over. It's not
great.
Over. Just round one.
Tell Larry to be craft to keep going, and maybe you'll have him as a guest on.
Well, he may even be on here a little bit later.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for the call,
Take
Joe.
Care.
And Gary, let's pick up where we left off. I know we're about to hit a break here in just a minute, but let's you had the prosecutor, and you gave a pretty good description of what he did to her on cross. But what happened on the once Larry rested his case?
Well, that's what was very unexpected. You can predict.
I told you we were fixing to hit a break, so we'll pick back up with this in just a few minutes. If you want to call us, 1-800-313-9443.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Back to the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have Gary Thomason with Truth Attack with us today. He was at the Sherry Jackson trial. And, Gary, you were about to tell us about what all went on during the government's rebuttal case.
Yes, sir. Of course, when the prosecutor rested their case, Larry presented the defense after the defense presented a case. Sherry was cross-examined, and this was about, we broke for lunch, and we came back, and we were semi-expecting, closing arguments and jury instructions, but the government suddenly came back after lunch and said they wanted to put on a rebuttal case. Sometime during the lunch break, the DOJ sent the IRS case agent out on this mission to find the people. And if I can set it up a little bit, during Sherry's direct, some of the belief that she was building upon was through contact with her former coworkers at the IRS. These people still work for the IRS before Sherry left the Internal Revenue Service in 1995. So she had contacted five Internal Revenue Service agents. Of the five, one was a good enough friend with Sherry that Sherry asked that one single agent to help her find some information about the liability provision because there's a $50,000 reward. Now, Sherry didn't share this with the other four Internal Revenue agents, but just this one. So on the rebuttal case, the government called three of these Internal Revenue Service agents to the stand, and each one of them just in order stood on the stand, raised their right hand, and swore to God that they were going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and proceeded to lie through their teeth. And they were doing an impeachment of Sherry's testimony. He would ask them, at any time did Sherry Jackson have a meeting with you? And they would say, no. Did she ever talk with you about this $50,000 reward? No. Did she ever, do you recall any conversation? Did you have lunch with her? He was asking all kinds of questions, and each time they were saying no. And then Larry cross-examined them, and to short circuit any conversation. He started to go off the path to challenge their credibility, and the government objected, and the court told Larry that all he could address were the questions that were asked of the witnesses. And, of course, that basically tied him down. And then
even
he would
that,
ask,
though, was a major concession toward Larry, because the defendant doesn't have a right to rebut the rebuttal. Generally, the government gets the first word and the last word, the first testimony and the last testimony.
Yeah,
The fact that he had an opportunity to do that at all was at least some help.
At this point, I would say the judge was fair.
Well, obviously so. So maybe they'll be fair in post-trial motions. And in the meantime, come back with us on the next hour. We'll be covering this subject with Gary Thomason here on the My Free Zone.
With recent